Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Edmond Demirjian of Middle Village Dental.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church, along with our co-host, Mr. Beth Bezdigian, with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our day and our program with a prayer from the sunrise service of the Armenian Apostolic.
Aravodian ais aghotk'e yev panavor bashtamunk'e entune amenagal amenamedzet astvats ku yergnayin anabagan hargerut mech artarutyan yev imastutyan luis'e tsak'e mer vra yev mez luis'i u tseregi vortiner tsartsur vorpesi yerp ore patsvi yergyugatsutyamp varenk mer gyank'e yev arants khaytakhutyan ir garadgadarumin hasts'enenk որովհետև ցունես մեր օկնական ու փրկիչը։ Քեզի գվայելեն փառքը, իշխանություն ու բադիվը, այժմ եւ միշտ եւ հավիդյանս հավիդենից։ Ամեն։ Almighty God, most great, accept our prayers of this morning and the adoration of our hearts in your holy and heavenly sanctuary. Shed forth into us the light of your righteousness and wisdom, and make us the children of light and children of the day, so that during this coming day we may pass our life in godliness and end it without offense. For you are our helper and savior, and to you is fitting glory, dominion, and honor, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, that was all he said. Then the loud sound, it seemed to fade. Came back like a slow voice on a wave of fate. That were no DJ, that was hazy. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not.
Narek, have you ever heard of Ziggy Stardust?
I think it's a David Bowie song.
It is a David Bowie song. But more than that, he was David Bowie's alter ego in the 1960s.
Did he believe in that?
I don't know what he believed in, to be honest, but he was a very interesting and incredibly entertaining, eclectic figure in our history and in modern contemporary music.
I think his departure was shocking to everyone, and it was on TVs and media everywhere, and I think that it also had affected you.
It did. It did. I can honestly say, in my lifetime, I don't believe the passing of a musical figure or such a prolific artist has had that kind of an impact, where when I heard that he had passed, I think it was shocking for all of us because it happened so quickly. None of us even knew. And those of us who are fans were really taken aback by it. And the most incredible thing about this is 2 days before his passing, he released another record.
It sounds like he knew what he was doing.
We're actually just now watching the video from his song, from the single Lazarus, from his latest album, Black Star. It's pretty amazing how he's just foretelling this is where his life is going, and that it's now the end, and what he has to look forward to from here, at least from his perspective as an artist, as a musician.
It's a great song, and the video is really shocking.
It is shocking. I guess our listeners will have to watch it at some time if they want to get a real feel for it. But if you want to take our word for it, it's a pretty impressive piece of artistry. Der Narek, why don't we take a listen to it now as we roll into the next segment?
Look up here. I'm in heaven.
I've got scars that can't be seen. I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
That we usually don't do this. Our podcasts are usually very uplifting and happy, but this is a dark, pretty dark topic that we're talking about. And it's been a difficult couple of weeks here for us in the parish of St. Sarkis Church because we had some significant losses here. We lost some members unexpectedly. I can recall in the past 3 weeks we had three sudden unexpected death, and for me just to deal with that as a pastor and go through the funeral services with the families, it's been really difficult. And I can't even begin to imagine how the family members are taking that. It's been very difficult for me as a priest, but also for our community to experience the loss of very valued members of our community. And as a priest, you go there, you try to offer your presence to the family and then officiate the services. But I think that's not enough, especially under the light of the recent losses in our community. I think there's something more that we can do. And I'm seriously considering to start a bereavement support group for our community. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great idea there, Narek, to have an opportunity for folks to express their grief and be able to share in their collective grief and to have the opportunity to speak with you about their current struggles and tribulations, to lend your perspective both as a priest, as our pastor, and also as a psychologist, as a professional in the field.
You know, when somebody loses a family member, they are overwhelmed with love and support and presence of friends and family members. But we know that as time goes by, everybody will be back to their businesses, to their lives. And it's the family members, the immediate family members, who are struggling with the effects of the tragedy that happened to them. And what we're going to try to do here in this support group is to facilitate a conversation for people to come and share their feelings of loss, of suffering, and to hear to one another. Of course, it will not be an open-ended group. It will be very structured. There will be a brief presentation in the beginning before the group starts to process feelings. And it doesn't have to be for people who just lost a family member. There could be people who have lost a beloved member of their family years ago, but they're still dealing with bereavement. It also could be people who have disenfranchised grieving. So this will be an environment for us to come and talk about our deep, dark feelings and try to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Would it be open to the entire community? Would it be just for those who are dealing with grief, or maybe those who are looking to support others who were grieving at the time? Would it just be completely open-ended?
No, it will not be open-ended. It will be for people who are dealing with grief. And it doesn't have to be, as I said, recent loss. It could be anything, but this is for people who have feelings of bereavement. This will be a place for them to come and process those feelings.
Can I ask you on a personal note? I often wonder about this as you're going through the process and leading the services in the church. How do you recover from that? Because you're dealing with grief a lot more frequently than we do in terms of the congregation, because some of us are affected by the loss of some members and maybe some others aren't. So we're not as immersed in the loss as much as you are. So how do you recover immediately following that and trying to continue your life and the life of the church and your obviously your personal life?
I don't think I have an easy answer. I know in our training we have learned that you need to view yourself as a lifeguard, and the lifeguard doesn't have to drown every time that he or she is trying to help someone who is swimming and they're in danger of drowning. But that's a good analogy. In reality, lately, I've been having some hard time dealing with the recent losses of our parish members, because I look at our parish as my extended family, and when I see people suffering, I also suffer. So probably I also need this group, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of express
selfishly.
yes, to express my own feelings of, you know, grieving. And hopefully we will benefit and we will learn something new. So I'm looking forward to this. If we want, we can talk briefly about how it's going to work. I'm going to send an email blast with a registration form for people to tell briefly about what topics they want to talk about. And once we have a solid group, we will start. We will meet once a week for a limited sessions. It's not going to be going for months and months. It's going to be brief so that it will be effective, hopefully.
Along those same lines, Der Narek, something that I've always wondered about, when you have those last moments with someone before they pass, as a pastor and as a friend or as a family member, are you encouraged? Do you feel that moment being a positive in a person's life, and that the last few moments to have that opportunity to pray with them and to connect with those individuals spiritually?
It's the way that I look at those moments. Unfortunately, they are sad moments. They are solemn moments. But for me, that is a sacred ground. It's a sacred place, because we know that we are on the verge of that portal that takes a person from this life to the next life. So for me to be there, it's a privilege. And when I administer the last rites, when I deliver the Holy Communion, I always try to hold their hands. You know, that's my final gesture of saying goodbye and paying my respect. You know, that is spiritually, I'm not sure if I should be using this word, satisfying, but I also think about those who are here, who are left behind, and I try to put myself in the shoes of the family members, try to imagine what it feels like to lose someone that is near and dear to your heart. So it's a mixture of feelings and emotions. There's no clear answer to what you're saying, but yes, I would prefer to be there to administer the last rites, but it's never an easy farewell.
I'm sure it comforts the family members to see you there with the person who's passing, praying with them and sharing those last moments as they transition to the next phase.
Absolutely. I think there is that comforting feeling of the priest, or for any priest to be there. And I've heard stories where they could not reach the priest, the parish pastors, they would call the chaplain. But that prayer, I think, is very important. And I don't think we should wait until the last moment. Prayer is always effective. That's why I always encourage our parishioners to let us know if they know that somebody is in the hospital, in a rehab center, for us to go just to say a prayer, deliver the Holy Communion, encourage, you know, the patient in the hospital, and invite them back to the life of the church. Not every visit that a priest gives to a hospital should be the final mm-hmm. visit. And, you know, I'm trying to be in a lighter mood here, but
our God, to that point though, Der Narek, God is very forgiving, and I didn't take it that way, that to invite them back, even if it's for a moment, maybe that invitation back is what would lead that person to salvation.
That's what happened on the cross with one of the criminals, you know, was being crucified next to Jesus. As Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's a very strong powerful testimony of the love and forgiveness that God comes to offer. But going back to our topic, sometimes when I hear that somebody is at the hospital and I reach to the family members and I say, I would like to visit so-and-so who is in the hospital, sometimes they say, oh no, don't come that high because they will be too scared. They think they're dying.
Oh, no.
I am not the angel of death. That's terrible. Just a priest who sometimes can offer hope.
And they see you when they see you walking through the door, they think it's the Grim Reaper.
Yes, I am not.
I'm glad we're ending this topic on a lighter note, because it's been a very heavy discussion for us from the start, with especially with the passing of many of our members of our collective family.
I'm not sure if we have new listeners today, Veh, but if we have people who are listening to us the first time, this is not how we usually sound. We usually
a little more upbeat.
Yes, upbeat.
We'll continue on that theme.
Very good. On the podcast, we oftentimes speak about our spiritual health, spiritual well-being. Today is the second week of the new year, and we want to do something different today. I'm pretty sure that on New Year's Eve, most of us had resolutions, and some of our resolutions had to do with our physical well-being. Today, I want to talk about our physical wellness, and for that reason, our guest today is my good friend, Lena Artlanian-Felice. Lena is a certified holistic nutritionist. Lena, welcome to the podcast.
Artnetek derayr, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Lena, before you becoming a certified holistic nutritionist, you told me that you were in the fashion business.
Oh, yes.
And then you made a transition.
Yes, I said
a drastic transition. Why?
I have a funny saying. I say it. Less sequence and more substance in my life. I need it. I was in fashion for about 20 years. And thanks to that, I was able to move to New York. So I'm very grateful for that, because now I'm married to an American and have two beautiful children.
You moved to New York from?
Montreal. So basically, you know, everybody needs a career change once in a while in their lifetime. And for me, it was pretty drastic. There was something missing in my life. So somehow, I was always interested in nutrition. Wasn't reading the Vogue, but I was reading nutrition magazines. And then something prompted me to go to school. And I went to school and I enjoyed it very much. And I realized there was more in life than just making money and working. So I guess it was kind of a natural transition for me. It was a different stage in my life. And I made the leap. I did a whole career change.
So you went to Columbia to study?
I went to Columbia University to get my certificate for integrative nutrition.
So today we're talking about New Year's resolutions. And as I said in my intro, that most of the time our resolutions have to do with our physical well-being. And that has to do with eating healthy, exercising. And it sounds very easy when we conceptualize. But in reality, they are pretty difficult to follow. I know from my own experience. So I guess my question, Lena, what are the tips that you can offer to our listeners on their journey to live healthier?
It's an interesting question, Narek. There's a lot of ways we could look at it, but definitely the new year brings a great sense of excitement and possibilities. I agree. We make a lot of dreams and goals, and our dreams are a driving force that motivates us. But the mere act of dreaming isn't enough. it really requires a plan, a pathway, a focused effort. So, you know, I'm very passionate about living a healthy lifestyle. You know, for me, this includes a non-toxic environment for my family, physical health, emotional balance, mental clarity, and spirituality all in one. So I think it was kind of amazing that I found the school that I went to, because it wasn't just the nutrition I was interested in. It was about primary foods and not just the food that you eat, you know. Basically, nourishing the body without nourishing the mind is a fruitless endeavor.
That's a very fancy term that you're using, the primary foods. What are they?
There are four factors that are just as important, if not more important, to your health as the food you eat. Those are called primary foods. They are a form of nourishment that truly feeds your hunger for life. So those consist of relationships, physical activity, career, and spirituality. You know, you could set goals for yourself all you want, but you really have to go within and figure out what's missing in your life and how do you kind of bring everything together, because that's going to help you, that's going to push you to succeed in your goals.
So am I hearing you, Lena, saying that changing your diet alone will not do it?
It's definitely not enough. It helps, Dernarek. It definitely helps. It's definitely a start. I mean, eating well, eating healthy, knowing what you're putting in your body definitely reflects on the outer part of yourself. But it's all a circle. It all connects to each other. Your physical health, your career health, your relationship health, your spirituality, everything. So what I find that's very helpful for me, and I really encourage people to consider doing, is to take time, even 5 minutes of your day. 5 minutes. How many minutes in a day? 1,000? How much time do we spend on Facebook or online? 5 minutes to sit down and to meditate. And to really truly focus on your breathing and to clear your mind. And once you do that, Dernarek, you really give the opportunity to create new habits and understand what your body and what you really want in life.
It sounds like you're saying it is important for us to be intimate with our own selves.
Absolutely.
With our inner being. And sometimes, you know, we are very focused on the outside. It's very difficult for us to take a look inside.
Meditation is very private. It's very personal. The only good thing about reaching, looking at the outside is getting a support group. And it's proven that you could be more successful achieving your goals when you talk to people about your goals. And you surround yourself with positive people who will motivate you and encourage you to do so. But at the end, you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for the people around you. You're just doing it for yourself. Everything else is bonus, is truly a bonus. And it's encouraging for other people to see how you can, whether if it's losing your weight, finding a better career, job, being a better mother, anything.
We all have our challenges in lives, and I'm sure that we all have room for improvement and to become a better person in our whatever situation it is that life throws at us. Lena, you used the word spirituality a number of times in this interview. Tell me, what is spirituality for you?
Spirituality for me is to connect with God, to be more like Jesus Christ, to be someone like him. I know this is huge. People might be laughing at what I'm trying to say, but he was an amazing person. And to strive for that perfection, although I don't want to be a perfect person, but I want to follow his footsteps by being a good person, and everything else that comes with it is my ultimate goal in life.
What you're saying is basically what Jesus challenged us to do, to be perfect, just like our Heavenly Father is perfect. And I always say that, you know, when you follow this teaching, you will never plateau in your life, because there's no perfection. At no point in our lives, a a conscious person will say, no, I'm imperfect. You know, we are always imperfect and there's always room for us.
Improvement.
Absolutely. But let's talk about more practical things.
Sure.
You spoke about non-toxic environment. What is that?
Well, again, it's such a big subject, but from the basic part of it is materials, and then we could talk about non-toxic people, but for me, it's all the stuff that we use in our daily life that can be removed and replaced with natural derived ingredients.
Give us some examples.
I'm a huge, huge fan of essential oils. I think they are an amazing source given from God. It actually comes from plants. That's all it is. And what it does is it has huge healing properties, mentally, physically, and emotionally. I've made a conscious effort to change all my toxic products in my home.
What do you consider to be a toxic product for you?
Anything that has a label that you cannot read, from shampoos to cleaning your countertops. They're not like everything. You'll be surprised. It's even in our foods, but I'm not even going there because it's a whole different show on its own. But a non-toxic life is just living with the bare necessities and using natural products. It's very simple.
Is it the organic stuff advertised oftentimes nowadays?
You know, organic is good for you to eat, but essential oils don't have to be organic. Essential oils are just a step beyond what people are using on in their everyday life. It really affects children's moods. It affects their well-being.
And you said providing an environment, a healthy environment for our children. I think that's very important because at the end of the day, we as parents, we're not only responsible for our own well-being, but God has trusted us with little lives, precious lives, and we need to make sure that we are providing to them whatever is healthy and sound in their upbringing.
First, we need to educate ourselves. And then it's just natural that we're going to, you know, it'll trickle down to our family, our children. And even my daughter talks about it all the time when she feels ill. She goes, Mommy, can you just put some oils under my feet? I don't want to take any medicine. And it works. It truly does.
Lena, besides you being a nutritionist, a holistic nutritionist, you are also involved in our community. Last year, for the first time, you became a teacher here at our summer camp program. And this fall, you started a teaching career here at our Saturday school. And you mentioned earlier that you came from Montreal, from Canada. How has this transition lived out for you? And how does it feel to be part of this community of St. Sarkis Church?
As you're talking, I have this huge smile on my face. If people could only see my face right now, it's ear-to-ear smile. It really brings me not even happiness, joy. To be part of this community. You know, when I'm just going to tell you a personal story. When I met my husband 15 years ago, I meditated every day because I used to live in Montreal and I wanted to come to New York. I envisioned my life, what it would be in New York. And it happened, but expectations exceeded, if I could say that.
Sure. In what sense, though?
In every sense of the way. I wasn't a very religious person before I had children. So I just feel like my life is going definitely in the right direction from my health consciousness to my spiritual consciousness. And now I feel like I'm giving back to the community. And for me, that's such a huge, huge accomplishment. And there's so much more waiting for me in the future. But the community has given me that opportunity, Der Narek. Honestly, I wouldn't imagine in my wildest dreams to do what I'm doing right now. Seeing those children's faces every Saturday, encouraging them to love their community, their school, their language, their church. It just brings such joy to me. And the most a joyful thing is truly for my daughter to see how mommy is so happy doing this. It almost makes her want to become who I am. And that's such a great example.
Follow your path and being involved in the community.
That brings me the most joy, truly.
Excellent. Lena, before I let you go, what's your message to our listeners today? What are some of the practical things that you want our listeners to take away from this interview?
Just be true to yourself. I know it sounds vague, but just take the time to yourself, 5 minutes, just to understand what you want in life. And let 2016 be the year of your best body, if you want your best body, your career, your spiritual path. Just work on it. Just take the time for yourself and everything else will follow. It's getting to know yourself first before anything.
Know yourself.
Know yourself.
That's a very good message that comes from the philosophy ages ago. And if we only can follow that, life would be better for us and for people around us. Lena, I thank you very much for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you.
I hope that our listeners will benefit from the advice that you provided today. And I wish you a good luck here in your endeavors at our Saturday school and also summer camp. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Podrastank? Let's reflect on the Word of God. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 through 66.
Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came all over the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered and said, "What will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him."
The Word of God. Today's reading is about the birth of John the Baptist, because the Armenian Church celebrates the feast of John the Baptist, the forerunner. This is the first feast that we celebrate in our calendar. It's the first feast right after Christmas, because John is a very important figure in the life of the church. In a sense that, on one hand, he is a prophet, like the prophets of the Old Testament, but also he is a saint, just like the saints of the New Testament. So he is the bridge that connects the Old Testament to the New. He is the one who prepares the way of our Lord Jesus Christ by declaring the message of repentance. Repent, because the kingdom of God is near. Probably most of us have heard about that message, but some of us do not know that John was born to parents who were considered to be barren. Elizabeth was advanced in her age when she became pregnant, and she believed in God. Elizabeth was related to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her husband, Zechariah, who was a priest, he showed some signs of doubt. So this is a very good story that tells us that you don't have to be a priest to have faith in God. Sometimes priests fail to have the faith that a regular person could demonstrate. And in this case, Elizabeth demonstrated that great deal of faith, and her son was born. The angel had told them that you will call your son John.
Why John? Where does that name come from? Is this the first time you hear the name John in the Bible?
I'm not sure if we find John in the Old Testament, but John is a name that has a very profound meaning there. Do you know what's the meaning of John?
No, I just know it's Hovhannes. My father is Hovhannes.
Hovhannes.
In Armenian.
In Armenian, Hovhannes Magarlich. John means the love and the compassion of God. So all those who have that name, they are the bearers of God's compassion. So they, the neighbors and everybody else who rejoices at, when they see that Elizabeth, the Baron, gave birth to a son and they want to continue the lineage of the family, they suggest that we call him Zechariah after his father. But they bring the tablet. Do you know why they bring the tablet to Zechariah?
I'm assuming he was mute.
He was muted because of his unbelief. And when he approves to call the son John, as it was foretold to him by the angel, then he starts to speak. And this opens a whole new chapter in the history of God's relationship with us. Because with John, we know that the salvation that Jesus Christ brings is at hand, it's near, and we know from the preaching of John the Baptist that a lot of people eventually would be led to follow Jesus Christ.
The coming of John, is it specific to this person who's going to be a Baptist or the forerunner to Jesus? Who was John to become in the Bible in terms of the Old Testament prophecy leading up to the revelation of Christ?
The Old Testament speaks about John the Baptist, and it tells that he was the sound that was calling in the wilderness. And indeed, John was preaching in the wilderness by the river Jordan. And he was a character that resembles the prophets of the Old Testament because he was not afraid to tell the word of God the way that it was without fearing anyone, which included the king of the day, and for that reason he lost his life. But on the other hand, John was a humble man. The role that he had was a very important role, to lead the way, to prepare the way for the mission and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he knew that that was his role, and he knew that he was not even able to tie or untie the thong of the sandals of Jesus. And these are the words that he uses. He knew that Jesus Christ was so much greater than him. And this teaches us something very important. Sometimes we get carried away when we think that we are really important people. But the example of John comes to teach us that we might be very important, but we need to look at ourselves and measure ourselves to the entire creation and to God. We're not God. Sometimes we have that distorted feeling that we are perfect, we can do anything that we want. But this example of John teaches us that we are not even able to approach the divinity, to approach God, and we need to do our job with a humble mindset.
In light of that, was it difficult for John to baptize Christ?
I would imagine so, because we read in the Bible that when Jesus came, he did not want. He said, "I am the one who should be baptized by you, and you come here to me." And we read Jesus saying, "Let us do this because this is the will of God." So, although they were related, they were maybe second cousins, but they took their job very seriously.
And last question, since we're going through the history and the facts of the Bible, would John have been the last prophet in the New Testament?
I would say so. I would say that he is the last prophet because after John and after Jesus Christ, it's the apostles, they're the saints, and it's a totally different era that opens. So the apostles went and they spoke and they preached about Jesus Christ. Up to John, prophets predicted the coming of Jesus Christ. The apostles spoke about what Jesus Christ had to offer to us. So in that sense, today the Armenian Church celebrates the feast of this very important saint, prophet, John the Baptist, Hovhannu Garabet. And for that reason, today we wish a very happy name day to all the Johns and Magardiches and Muggles and Garabets and Garos out there.
Special happy name day to my father.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. Today's hymn is something that almost every member of the Armenian community is familiar with and they love it. It is Der Voghormia, a hymn that we sing every Sunday during our worship service of Badarak. This is the Gomidasyan version. I hope you will enjoy listening to Der Voghormia and praying along with this hymn. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank our listeners, our sponsors, our co-host, Mr. Vepis Dikian, and our producer, Mr. Greg Dostor. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Edmund Demirjian of Middle Village Dental. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.